Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian Parrish is going verse by verse through Joshua chapter 4 in a study he's entitled Memorial Stones. So let's go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Let's look at verse 8 through 18, look at the present work that God is wanting to accomplish in and through us. Verse 8, and the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan. Now here's another group of stones that Joshua's going to set up. He told the priests to go into the midst of the Jordan, 12 men to go into the midst of the Jordan, take 12 stones, and they're going to place it where they lodge, which is going to be the city, the area called Gilgal. But now he says also, right where the priests are standing, lay up 12 stones there as well. So there's actually two memorials going on here. So Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, as they are there to this day. So the priests who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people according to all that Moses had commanded, and Joshua and the people hurried and crossed over. Then it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over, that the ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people. And the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over, armed before the children of Israel, as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. Now, he's not saying only 40,000 people crossed over, but remember back, these two and a half tribes, Reuben, Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh, when they got to the other side of the Jordan, they said, hey, this land's perfect for us. Let's stay here because we have cattle and it's grazing area. And Moses first, he said, he kind of had a flashback. Hey, this is the exact reason God brought judgment upon us, because we came to the edge of land and we didn't press in. God forbid that you would do such thing and bring that judgment upon us. But the Lord said, no, it's okay. They could stay there. But make sure that they agree that when you cross over the Jordan, that they send their fighting men in to do battle, and then all the tribes are able to go in and possess the land. So that's why these tribes are mentioned at this point. Let's go on, verse 14. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him, and they had feared Moses all the days of his life. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, command the priests who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come up from the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come up from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all of its banks as before. What an awesome sight that would have been to see that. First to see it part, and to walk across, and the water's heaped up, and it's, you know, miraculously being held. And as soon as the priests get out of the water, then it goes back to the way it is. That's the work that God did among them right then, that they were able to see and to watch. And the memorial stones were to remind them of that tremendous work. Now, looking at the present work of God, I believe there's a few areas that the Lord is desiring to work in us as a congregation. And what you need to realize is that we as a congregation don't choose those areas. Israel did not choose to cross the Jordan miraculously. God said, this is what I'm going to do. And when God wants to manifest his power, work in a people's life, he makes the choices. Israel didn't say, well, we don't really want to cross here. Let's go down a little way and cross over. We liked, didn't matter what they liked. It's not a democracy. We have one leader, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the head of the body. And the head of the body is speaking to us as a congregation and says, I have purposes that I want to accomplish in your life as a congregation. Now, we don't choose to respond and say, well, we don't like those, or we don't want those to happen now. We submit, we yield to those works that God's wanting to accomplish. And we need to get our life aligned with the work of the Spirit that God wants to accomplish here in this congregation if we're really going to come into the purposes that God has for us. And I believe that some of those areas are obvious through the studies that I've been given, the things that have been emphasized over the last couple of years or 18 months, or whatever the time frame would be. And obviously, one of those areas is the area of worship. I believe God has worked in us as a congregation and has transformed some things and is desiring to continue to work in the area of worship. Now, if that's what God, the head, wants to do, who are we to say, I don't want to do that now. I'm not ready for that. Worship just isn't my thing. What is your thing then? Going to church and just coming in and out? If the God of the universe says, I want you to be a people that worship me, who are we to say, I'm not into worship? We'll do that later. He's the head, we're the body, he gives instruction, and he pours out his power, what he wants to work in our life. The Bible says that we must worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and God is seeking such worshipers, and he's desiring to work that in us in a greater way. That's the power that he wants to bring into the life of this congregation now, presently. And don't sit back and say, well, I'm just not an emotional person or an expressive person, and so I'm really not a worshiper. That's not to be tolerated here, because the God of the universe is saying, this is what I want to do. And we don't critique what God wants. We submit and we yield, and that's where we experience God's work and God's life and the freshness of the new wine that he wants to pour into a congregation. That's the quickest way to become stale in an old wineskin and really set apart, set aside from the purposes and plans that God has. He has purposes. We submit to him. You know, I was thinking about it. You know, the people that were against worship in the Bible, first of all, the devil. You want to be categorized with this group of people? Think about it. Satan doesn't want you to worship God. He wants all the worship and all the glory. That's, he even wanted that from Jesus. Bow down and worship him. He's seeking that. And he'll do anything he can to try and stop a congregation from moving in the areas and growing in the areas of worship. The second group of people, I think, in the Bible that didn't want worship to happen was the Pharisees. They're the ones that said, Jesus, tell your disciples to be quiet. You want to be a religious, prideful individual? You want to be lumped in that group? Another group or another individual, Judas. He said to that woman that poured out that alabaster or that fragrant, costly perfume, he said, oh, it could have been given to the poor. You want to be lumped with a Judas who was possessed by the devil eventually? And there's one other person I think of, and that's David's wife. That's when David was worshiping. It says he was dancing before the Lord. It says he came home, and his wife was all bummed out and rebuked him and says, but she was the one that was barren. You want a road to barrenness? Resist what God wants to do. Because there isn't life outside of God's purposes. We don't choose the purposes of God. He chooses them in his timing, in his way, and we submit, and he brings life and power to our lives as a congregation. But there's still some people dragging their feet in the area of worship. And it's not tolerable, it's not to be tolerated to say, I'm not a worshiper of God. You're not going to enjoy heaven if you're not a worshiper. And at least I want to do as much as we can to prepare you for heaven. Because heaven is a place of worship. The eternal God of the universe wants the glory and he's deserving of it. And he's trying to work that in our hearts. Who are we to resist? Why would we want to resist? It's intolerable to say, I'm not a worshiper. You might as well say, I'm not a Christian. God wants us to worship him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We want to build a memorial stone. What God's doing right now, I think worship is one of those areas. Wouldn't be stones, it would be hands that are lifted up or something. The other area I see, what has happened just last week, is they have evangelism, especially in Mexico and Tijuana. God's given that to us as a ministry. And wait till you hear just a testimony of what took place, as Mark will share next week, and just the miraculous stories of God bringing churches together and lives together and ministries together. God's entrusted that responsibility to us as a congregation. And don't say, well, I'm not into evangelism. Where does it end? What would you be into? I'm not into worship. I'm not into evangelism. Do you want us to play bingo here? Show movies? Entertain you? You may not be called to specifically go to Mexico, but you could pray. You could start seeking the Lord now, asking for God's greater work to be done next year. God seems to be increasing that ministry there, touching more lives. Be a part of it somehow. Find some little place. God's entrusted to us as a congregation. You may say, well, I'm not into evangelism. Let God change your hearts. God's entrusted this to us as a congregation. We come behind that, and he works his purposes in us.